Welcome to episode 1260 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Imagine a fast-paced, high-value tech startup that has just secured a major round of funding. The CEO decides to issue a surprise end-of-year payment to the software development team. The team begins to buzz. How much will they get? There are different factions. There are the senior team members who were there from the company's founding. They worked 12 grueling months, pulled all-nighters, and took lower salaries in the beginning. They calculated, based on performance metrics and hours logged, that their bonus should be around $20,000. Then we have the competent engineers who joined 6 months ago. They worked diligently, but missed the hardest initial phase. They expect a proportional bonus, maybe $5,000 to $10,000. Then there are a handful of college interns who were hired just last week to clean up code and organize data for a final presentation. They put in 40 hours of simple, necessary work. They don't expect much, maybe a pizza party, some words of appreciation, and, if they're lucky, a handshake from the CEO. When the bonuses are distributed, everyone, the founding members, the mid-year hires, and the last week interns, all get the same, a check for $20,000. How do you feel when someone who shows up late gets the same reward as those who've been toiling from the start? Most of us bristle at the idea. We have an innate sense of fairness built into us, one that demands hard work be met with greater reward. But Jesus, in one of his most upside-down teachings, tells a story that flips this worldly logic on its head. In Matthew 19, Jesus has just had an interaction with the rich young ruler, who asks what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus tells him to sell his possessions and follow him. The man goes away sad, prompting Jesus to say,
"It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God."
Then Peter asks, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus replies with a promise of reward for the disciples, but ends with a cryptic phrase,
"But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first."
Then, in the first 16 verses of Matthew 20, Jesus tells the parable of the workers in the vineyard, in which a landowner pays every laborer the same wage, whether they worked 12 hours or one. To some, this is outrageous. To Jesus, it's a picture of the kingdom of heaven.
"For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard."
A landowner goes out early in the day to hire workers. This would have been a familiar scene to Jesus' audience. Many day laborers in ancient Israel would wait in the village square hoping to be hired. Throughout the day, the landowner keeps going back to hire at the 3rd, 6th, 9th, and even 11th hour, just 1 hour before quitting time. He promises to pay the first group a denarius, a full day's wage, and tells the rest he will pay them what is fair. At the end of the day, he calls the laborers and pays them all the same amount, starting with the last. Those who worked all day begin to grumble.
"These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day."
The landowner answers,
"Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius, or are you envious because I am generous?"
Jesus concludes,
"So the last will be first and the first will be last."
At first glance, this story might make us uncomfortable. Why should those who worked less receive the same as those who labored all day? But the parable isn't a lesson in labor rights. It's a radical teaching about grace. The landowner represents God, and the workers represent people being called into the kingdom, some early in life, some late, some with long records of obedience, some with barely any. The denarius represents salvation, the generous, undeserved gift of eternal life. What are some lessons from the vineyard? God's kingdom operates on grace, not merit. The first lesson is this: God's economy is not like ours. In the world, you get what you earn, but in the kingdom of heaven, you get what God chooses to give, and his gift is grace. The full-day workers felt entitled to more, but they had received exactly what was promised. The problem wasn't injustice. It was envy. This is the heart of the gospel. None of us deserve salvation. Whether we've been working for the Lord since childhood or just turned to him recently, we are all saved by grace through faith, not by our own efforts. God's generosity offends human pride. The offense of this parable isn't injustice, it's radical generosity. Jesus is showing us grace isn't fair by human standards. It's scandalous. It embraces the unworthy, it lifts the last, and it levels the playing field. Those who've worked hard in faithfulness sometimes struggle to rejoice when latecomers receive the same gift. Like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son, we can feel bitter when grace flows freely to others. But that bitterness reveals a deeper problem. We've forgotten that we, too, are recipients of grace. Comparison destroys gratitude. When did the workers get upset? Not when they received their wage, but when they saw what others got. Comparison is the thief of joy. The moment we look sideways, we stop looking upward. Jesus invites us to focus on our relationship with the landowner, not on how he deals with others. We must rejoice in what God has done for us and celebrate his mercy toward others. Let's get deep. Jesus defends the unworthy. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus consistently sides with the marginalized, the outsider, and the latecomer to faith. The tax collector beating his chest in repentance goes home justified. The thief on the cross, after a lifetime of sin, receives the assurance of paradise. The woman caught in adultery receives forgiveness, not condemnation. In this parable, Jesus challenges those who think they have earned their place. He affirms that all are welcome, even those who come late. This is who Jesus is, the defender of the undeserving. He is the one who invites the last to the front of the line, not because they worked harder, but because they dared to believe in the generosity of the Master. Jesus exposes religious pride. Jesus tells this parable in the shadow of his growing tension with the Pharisees. They prided themselves on long-standing devotion, ritual purity, and deep knowledge of the law. But they despised Jesus' embrace of sinners, tax collectors, and outsiders. In this story, Jesus unmasks the heart of self-righteousness. He reveals even longtime servants of God can have twisted hearts, grumbling at grace. This parable is a mirror for anyone who has ever said, "God, I've served you all my life. Don't I deserve more?" Jesus reminds us, no one deserves grace. That's the point. Jesus invites us into joy, not jealousy. The landowner in the parable isn't just fair. He's joyful. He pays generously. He surprises the last workers. He celebrates. But the early workers can't share in that joy. They're consumed by jealousy and resentment. Jesus is inviting us into the joy of the Master, but we must lay down our comparisons and self-entitlement. Only then can we truly rejoice when someone else is welcomed home. How do we live in the logic of grace? Remember, you were hired by grace. You weren't chosen for your resume. God came looking for you, even when you had nothing to offer. Whether he found you at sunrise or twilight, his grace is the same. Celebrate, don't compare. When others are blessed, rescued, or restored, rejoice. Don't measure their journey against yours. Remember, the same God who was generous to them has been just as generous to you. Welcome the latecomers. The church should be the one place where everyone gets a seat at the table. No matter how late someone comes to faith, we celebrate. Let's tear down the walls of merit and build bridges of grace. In a world that says, "You get what you earn," Jesus tells a different story. "You get what I give." The parable of the workers in the vineyard is not just about economics. It's about the scandalous, beautiful, undeserved grace of God. It challenges our pride, confronts our envy, and reminds us that in the kingdom, no one earns their way in. Whether you've been walking with Jesus for decades or just recently turned to him, the wage is the same: eternal life, fellowship with God, and a seat at the feast. Let us never grow bitter at God's grace to others. Let us instead rejoice that the landowner is generous, because that generosity has been poured out on us too. Father, thank you for the grace that found each one of us. We confess that sometimes we compare our journeys to others and feel entitled to more, but you have already given us more than we deserve. Help us to rejoice when others are blessed. May we never grumble at your generosity, but live every day in gratitude for the denarius of eternal life. Teach us to celebrate grace, not just when we receive it, but when we see it poured out on others. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.